Call this meeting to order. The Oceana Community Services District is July 25th, 2012, 6:30 p.m. Can I get a roll call, Caroline?
Director Hurdle?
Here.
President Guerrero?
Here.
Vice President Lucy?
Here.
Director White?
Here.
Director Angelou?
With the exception of Director Angelou, everybody is present. If we could have the flag salute, item number three.
Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving on to item number four, public comment. Manager Kieslin, is there any public comment this evening?
No, I didn't get any slips as of this time.
I see, and I forgot to announce this, to allow public comment in the old way.
Thank you. Then that saves me. It does. It does. So then I guess I'll be back when we get to cash disbursements. I have a question at that time.
Thank you.
So thanks.
Is there any other public comment, Mr. Edwards?
Thank you, Mr. President. Good evening, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. At your last meeting on July 11th, your general manager, in his comments, posed a question. And I think it was relative. Well, let me read from the transcript of his remarks, and we'll go from there. And in a perfect world, it would be a wonderful year. But unfortunately, I've had to suffer the slings and arrows of people that I'm still questioning why. And so that's what I wanted to answer Mr. Gieselin's question, Mr. President, the why. And I would characterize it as this. Mr. Gieselin is the embodiment of the status quo. And I would submit to you that the status quo has and continues to strangle Oceano. And the status quo is, I believe, the enemy of Oceano and its people. For three decades, since this district's been formed, Oceano has more or less been considered the stepchild of the county. And this may even go back further. It may go back to the 50s or 40s, perhaps. But suffice it to say, Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, Pismo, and even Napomo, Mr. Gieselin's hometown, have all prospered to some extent on the backs of Oceano. And today, this status quo continues with the Northern Cities Management Area, the Sand District, and John Wallace, Mr. Gieselin's OHV-centric economy here in Oceano. The airport, Mr. Gieselin is a friend of the pilots, those few pilots that enjoy perks at the expense of others. So it's about this status quo that I wanted to talk about. And Mr. Gieselin also at the last meeting explained to you how he came to Oceano and how he was installed here by Supervisor Teixeira. And that's part of the status quo as well. And you've recently about how we remove the status quo. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Is there any other public comment this evening? Seeing no one, we'll move on to item number five, special presentations or commendations. Mr. Gieselin, are there any special presentations this evening?
Yes, there are. As you know, when we started out the summer, we wanted to incorporate a summer hire program, and so we partnered with the Boys and Girls Clubs of Oceano with the sole purpose of bringing in young people to work during the summer in Oceano, with the criteria being that they be Oceano kids, and they had to go through the hiring process as we would treat anybody else. And I am proud to say that we hired one this year to work in the field doing painting, cleaning, weed abatement, and everything else. And he's here tonight, but also we have from the Boys and Girls Club, we have Mr. Mario De Leon, Gina Barbosa, Alisa Sirachi, Frankie Curiel, and Mr. Jose Sea, who's been working for us. I'd like you guys all to stand up so the crowd can recognize you. And Chairman Guerrero, I have a certificate that I'd like you to read to the audience.
I'll step to the
front. And the intent is to build on this every year so that it, when in, by 3 years, we'll have at least four high school students working during the summer in both the office and in the field. So, and Jose's been with us 2 weeks, and he's taken every task that the guys have given him, and he's helped paint the water system. He's helped clean up weeds. He's moved boxes, everything that has been asked of. He shows up at 9, he leaves at 1, and we're very proud to have him, and this is a great kickoff to a program that I think is going to be very, very successful.
And on behalf of the Oceano Community Services District, this is a certificate of recognition to the Boys and Girls Club of South San Luis Obispo County for your teen outreach summer employment program, with gratitude for making a difference in the lives of the boys and girls in the Oceano community. On behalf of myself and the whole board, we really want to say thank you and keep up the good work. So. And now what you have to do is we all have to take our picture up here at the front.
Oh,
if
God.
I could have the rest of the board come forward.
Thank you.
Status quo.
Thank you to the Boys and Girls Club and Mario and Frankie and everybody, Gina. And I'm sorry, I forgot the other young lady's name, but Alisa, right?
Alessa.
Thank you all for what you do for our community. And it's really a pleasure to drive down the street and see you guys and all the kids that are out there not involved in gangs and other activities. Thank you, Mario. Would you like to say anything, Mario?
Okay.
Are there any other presentations, special presentations this evening?
Just an acknowledgement to the district. We subscribe to the Pacific Coast Business Times, mm-hmm. and they do a book of lists. And Oceano Community Service District was selected 18th out of the Tri-Valley for community service districts. And they based it on revenue. A key thing to point out is that most of these districts have in excess of 10 employees, even ones that are smaller than us. Some of them have 20, and we're running it with 7 people. So, they base it on our revenue of $4 million, and I received a letter also from Assemblyman Jeff Gorrell, recognizing us for being in this list, so
great.
That's positive.
Perhaps we could attach that letter to the minutes.
Right, and I'll also put it up on the website as well.
Excellent.
Along with a copy of the list. And that's it for right now.
Moving on to the consent agenda, item number 6. The first would be the agenda review. Would anybody like to change or move anything on the agenda? Nothing from Ms. Director Hurdle? Director White? No. Lucy?
I just sent a couple editorial things to Carol Ann and Tom, so I think.
Is there any public comment? Let me clarify. Is there any public comment on the minutes?
I don't have any. I know we just filled out a slip.
Okay. Is there any board comment?
I was glad to see that. That some of the letters and handouts that we receive and we talk about, particularly the letter from Kathy Young, did go out in the packet. I think it's important that things like that be included, so thank you very much for doing that. Even this little cartoon. So can I make a motion?
Sure, I'll entertain a motion. Director White was still looking through her minutes, so I didn't know if she was.
No, I'm sure.
You ready? Okay. Yeah. Is there a motion to approve the minutes July 27th, July 11th, and July 13th, 2012, as presented?
Should we do them separately or packaged, bundled? Big bundled.
Molly, can we do them all together? Mm-hmm. We're going to spend more time wondering if we can.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, okay. Let's do them all together then.
I move that we accept the minutes from June 27th, July 11th, and July 13th, which was a special meeting.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Minutes. Aye for two of them, but not the first one.
Oh.
Is there a roll call vote for
this? Oh, wait a minute. I guess I was here. For...
You were here for the first one.
Sorry. Sorry. Oh.
So your vote...
Voting yes.
Okay. The motion carries 4-0. Late vote from Director White. Moving on to item number C, cash disbursements. Is there any public comment on cash disbursements? And I will point out that it is the amended amount, the total $38,075.52.
Yeah, the only change on that was we cut a check to the sand district.
Okay. And I didn't see the check for the fire department in this. Amended one.
Yeah, I pulled that back.
Okay.
Because we'd already paid July in advance because they didn't have a budget in place, and so it's really not due. So I pulled that back.
Okay. Ms. Tacker?
I had a question about the sand district. Can you help me find the new check? What is the amount? No one's going to help me.
$127.84.
No, that's to Wallace Group. That's a different check. That's our engineering check. No, she cut another one for $1,100, but it hasn't made the packet. So it's probably left on the desk. I apologize for that. I've been responding to text messages because I had a good friend have a massive heart attack, and since this afternoon, I haven't been following through on a lot of stuff, so I apologize.
Wait a minute. There is a check for the sand district in here.
I know, but there's another one that we cut because we, when we ran into the thing about the billing.
Oh, right.
I started withholding 10% until we got the billing thing worked out.
Correct.
And so we cut that check.
Okay, so it's not included in the total on the warrants?
I know she printed it. I asked her to print it, but it never made my packet. But
okay. So you don't know the amount?
I don't know the amount. I'm okay. Sorry.
I'm sorry about your friend, and I'm sorry there's some confusion about this. The amount that I was looking for relates to the 10% that was withheld in April and May for a total of $7,187. And I guess I've just been watching the warrants to see that the sand district would be adequately compensated.
It's still her comment.
Yeah. I don't know what authority Mr. Geeslin had to withhold that amount. And I think that causes some trouble with your books. It's last year's money. And then it causes trouble with their books that it was last year's money that we're talking about. So
thank
if you,
you
can answer.
Thank you, Ms. Tech. Mr. Edwards?
Thank you, Mr. President, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards, and I wanted to speak to the district engineer position and Mr. Wallace. He has one of the warrants on your cash disbursements. It's unclear of how the performance evaluation went regarding Mr. Is ever increasing in terms of its frequency. You're unable to apparently find the agreement that this district has with the sanitation district. The relationship is a little bit nebulous. If one doesn't exist, maybe it would be opportune to look at a contract with the sand district. a written agreement. And I think it would also be worthwhile to look at reviewing your district engineer and perhaps going out with RFPs to solicit proposals for another engineer to avoid that conflict that may exist. Thanks for your help.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Is there any other public comment? Barbara Mann?
Yes, I think you can hear me. I don't feel like walking
up there. Hold on, the AGP is going to bring the mic back.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if I can.
Well,
it's part of our ADA accommodations here. So.
Yes. Since we're complying with the rules, we
half access.
Yeah, it's half access. I'll report you tomorrow. Yeah.
Well, Barbara Mann, Oceano. What I wanted to comment on, I think the last comments made by the previous speaker questioning John Wallace, his employment contract, whether you had evaluated him or any of that, that wasn't connection with the warrants, and I object to not following the agenda or to being on point. And then my other thing is the comments between people in the audience with each other, it is very disconcerting to those of us who are a little hard of hearing. So if they could hold those down, it would be appreciated. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Mann. Is there any other public comment?
Sorry for the inconvenience.
Any board discussion?
I just want to point out that the arrangement between the Oceana Community Services District and Mr. Wallace and the engineering company, Wallace Engineering, that happened long before Mr. Gieslin ever arrived.
To my Friday's July 20th Friday report, it has the finances, it has all the stuff that was going on in the front end of the office, and if you notice, in the last couple weeks we've been spending a lot of time in the back side of the office. And when I put my plan together, when we first looked at this district, the front side of the house was the thing that was the biggest concern. We were behind in audits, we hadn't closed books and all that other stuff, and so the primary focus was on that. In the meantime, it's now time to get focused to the back of the house. And I have been working really diligently trying to make sure we're in compliance. We are looking at a useful life of our equipment. And quite candidly, we are probably going to spend a good deal of money over the next 6 to 9 months getting everything upgraded to where it's supposed to be. Some of this is due to obsolescence and technology changing, and a lot of it's due to new regulations that have come forward by all the different groups that we have to satisfy. I would also like to point out that in the last 6 months, we have brought in $90,000 of almost lost CDBG funds that we got reimbursed for. We got in $108,000 of FEMA reimbursement from the earthquake. And then on 7/8, I got a check in the mail, which I'll pass you copies, for $329,890, which is the remainder of the FEMA reimbursement, which this will be the money that we will use to bring our stuff up to speed and get everything going. So in 6 months' time, over $500,000 has come in, and we were literally 24 hours away from losing this. And if it hadn't been for Doug Grosshart at Wallace Engineering,
One second, Tom. Can I have the comments in the audience down? It's distracting people and the other people in the audience. Thank you.
If we hadn't had the help of Doug Grosshart trying to put this piece together, because what a lot of people don't realize is we had two district engineers involved with this place. We had Gehring and Taylor, and then Wallace Group came in. And so that was during two of the major projects that we were doing. and we now have it ironed out and documented. And you need to remember, so I'll pass forward a copy of these checks, and I'll put a couple in the audience for those that didn't get a chance to see them.
Thank you, Tom. I think we should also thank Doug for his assistance in noticing that as well.
The other thing everybody needs to realize is, yes, John Wallace has the contract, but John Wallace has a lot of individual engineers that work with him. And in my opinion, Doug Grossart, who's assigned to us, is one of the best. And he's been working 3 days a week with our team, chasing things down and making sure that we are in compliance, working like it's never been worked before. And sorry. Part of my report. The other thing I wanted to report was that we got a letter from the county clerk recorder saying it's our 2012 biannual notice of conflict of interest codes, and so we're going to have to pull those out and make amendments where they need to be made amended and then go forward. So that's the other thing we'll be beating down, and I'll need we'll probably need a committee meeting on that, but I'll call for that later.
Are you speaking of the 700 forms?
No.
No, okay.
No. This has to do with what the district's conflict of interest codes are. It's what they measure everything to. So there are some amendments that we know need to be made. So.
All right.
Other than that, that's all I have. And sorry I'm a little bit off tonight, but I am worried about my friend.
That's okay. The next item was Board of Directors and Outside Committees. Director Angela is not present. The next up on the list is Director Hurdle.
Yes, I attended the Oceano Advisory Committee meeting on the 23rd, and out of that, I have my agenda here somewhere. The main things that we discussed were the report on the Revitalization Committee. We did go over what happened at our last meeting, and we are expecting to have a representative at our next meeting on the fourth Monday of the month. We've recently changed our date, but she's going to come out. She's an unfortunate prelude to the revitalization efforts that we're going towards, because if we can get, and I'm going to be working on getting a committee together. I'd like to have people turn out at the next meeting, the advisory meeting, and I'd like to see this be the first step as we follow through with the projects that we come up on, the revitalization projects. Secondly, the OCA will be having a candidates night on October the 2nd, and it will be hosted by the League of Women Voters. The time is, do we decide on 7? 7 p.m., and all interested residents, voters, please come out, ask your questions, and vote. And the third thing that we talked about is new business was Linda Austin. Thank goodness for Linda. One of the projects that we'd like to do is there's sidewalks in Oceano between Pier and Coolidge Avenue. Mm-hmm. And they're covered by ice plant, as you all probably know. The ice plant grows all the way to the street. And Linda has gotten together with the supervisor, and they've gone out, they've located those sidewalks, and our project is to uncover them. And we have a picture here of here they are, right here. This is the housing project by Juan's Cantina. Pier Avenue is here, and this is the sidewalk. A little thin line, yeah.
Aww.
So isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
And so what we're going to be doing, and this is the Vista del Canto track of 1931. Isn't that amazing? It was built by a William Weiss resident. So we can look forward to having sidewalks to walk along the highway in the future. Thank you, Linda.
What town could say they know what their first sidewalk is?
Well, maybe they're only.
And that's it for me.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun to find. Director White, do you have any anything to present this evening?
I also attended the advisory committee meeting, and I reported on the plans by San Luis Obispo County Roads Department to put a double roundabout on Highway 1 at Halcyon Road and the Rio Grande Creek.
Zone 3 was supposed to happen on last Thursday here at Oceano Community Service District, which it hasn't been held here for way before my time. But unfortunately, it was canceled. So I took the opportunity to go over to our water yard here, spend a little time with the guys on the front line, and it's really amazing what they've done with that yard and just cleaning it up. And Jose, was that correct? Jose, you know, your work is very visible there and everything, but it was a nice atmosphere to come into, and it was really being ran very well. It wasn't chaotic at all, so that was nice to do that. I also attended a little bit of the Rejuvenating Oceano Committee thing, so that was about it.
I attended the Sanitation District, and I left my agenda, and so on my own motion, I'm going to ask to present next time on the Sanitation District, because I left it, and I don't want to forget anything that's important. But as far as operations, I also was in the yard Friday morning till a little afternoon. I was able to work with Casey. I was able to work with Tony Maricino, who's our new guy, and I was able to work with Aaron. And there was a couple of things that were really notable. One of the things was the pride and the positive energy that all of these workers have in the yard. They were very accommodating isn't even the right word. They were very enthusiastic to show me what they had going on in the yard, what changes have been made, what they were working on, and what they were doing. We went out, we cleaned out the lift station, which, for those of you who don't know, and I didn't really know until this time, but the lift station is basically where the sewer is, and there's these large, probably 2-foot diameter pipes that are flowing raw sewer into these baskets that kind of resemble a shopping cart basket, and Aaron was cleaning those out by hand, and I started helping him, and the two of us were cleaning out raw sewage and plastic bags and everything that gets involved. And Jose's laughing, but you're next. And we were cleaning all of this out. And Tony was with us. And those of you who don't know Tony, he's a 6'2" staff sergeant from the Marine Corps. And he gagged. And I didn't. And these are our items that we have. There's a presentation from the Oceano Depot Association, Linda Austin. Oh, there she is.
I'm the president of the Oceano Depot Association.
Can you speak into the mic?
Okay. And I'd like to thank Mr. Geislin for allowing me to come here tonight, and I want to give this presentation on the Oceano Depot. It's been a while since we've been here, and I thought this was a good time to come and update everyone on what's been going on across the street. I know there's a lot of new people in town that haven't kind of wonder what that big yellow building is, and so put together a little slideshow that I'm going to show some of the early history of the depot and the early restoration, and then some of the projects and events that we've had at the depot the last 10 to 12 years. It's been 35 years since the depot was moved across the street, and I thought this was a good time to refresh everybody and kind of bring back and let everybody see what the monumental effort it took for the people in this town to get that depot where it is today. So, and we do have some of our directors and volunteers here tonight. I'd like to just mention Mr. Mark Whedon. He's one of our loyal docents, volunteers, does a lot of work at the depot. And then Norm Hammond is here, and he's one of our directors, our author, who has written several books about that we sell at the depot that raises money for our project. And then we have Barbara Mann, who helps a lot, and my mother, Glenda Guyton. And Mary Williams is always there with the Kiwanis when we're doing projects at the depot. So I think that's just a few of the people that are involved over there. And so the first slide here is the mission statement of the Oceano Depot Association. It states the specific purpose of the Oceano Depot Association is to restore, preserve, and operate the Oceano Depot and other structures that have history. Also, you'll see other structures and artifacts that are important to the history of Oceano that are preserved on the depot grounds and inside the depot. So this saying that my dad, Harold Guyton, had written back in the early stages, probably no other building ever constructed in the South County played such an important role in the development of the area as did the Oceano Depot. And that's very true, as the town of Oceano was founded solely in anticipation of the railroad coming to town. The first map of the town of Oceano was filed in 1893, and by 1896, the early developers stipulated in that map that a depot and freight yards be established in the town. So in 1896, the first trains were rolling by, and there was a new depot sitting on the tracks. And then in 1903, there was an accidental fire, and it destroyed the first depot. So the Southern Pacific set up a boxcar temporarily. And the station we have today that you see in this photograph was moved into Oceano. It came in pieces from the Bay Area. And it was set up on the same brick foundation as the first depot. And in 1904, started work in Oceano as the depot we see today. All the freight, passenger, and telegraph service ran through Oceano and the depot. And this is a picture of someone that we might all know that's here today, the little girl that's sitting. This is Karen White when she was a young girl as she's sitting there. Her father took that picture, and you can see the depot in the background there.
She's cute then as she is now.
Now, and here's one of the iconic photos that's real... you see a lot. This is titled Shipping Peas, and it shows the depot in its heyday in the 20s. And this is the, let's see, where am I? This is when the wave of prosperity really swept over Oceano during this period, and there was the whole front street was covered in false front buildings. The building there you see, the Palm Bar, that building is still there as the Oceano Card Room. And we had a theater, a blacksmith store, there was mercantile bakery, the town was booming, bustling little town. And if you'll know, like the pictures you have on the wall here, you see the clam dates and mail and telegraph thereafter. If you'll see there on the original location, you'll see the Beach Street crossing in the background. And if you look at the building right to your left, that's Ocean Street, and that building is still there. That was Oceano's first theater. It's the old rusty tin building, and it was a theater, it was a print shop, it was a mercantile, a department store, it was a lot of things, and it's one of the last buildings still here. So after the depot was closed, the freight office stayed open. Well, after passenger service was discontinued, the freight office stayed open, and the shipping of vegetables and sand, Oceano sand, was being shipped up into the 60s. But then again, the competition from the trucking industry and the changes in the crop production brought about the closing of the station. It closed in 1973 for good. And then at that time, Phelan and Taylor Produce Company acquired the building. They started a celery heart packing venture. That ended. The building set vacant and was scheduled for demolition. So that's when the Southern Pacific said the building had this. Well, the Oceano Improvement Association stepped in at this time and made a contract with Edwin M. Taylor from Taylor Produce, sold the building to the Oceano Improvement Association for the token sum of $1, and then plans were being formulated to move the building off the railroad property. And so you'll see the supervisor, Howard Mankins, at the time. He became what we've always said was our knight in shining armor. He acquired a lease of county land that was the current site across the street now. There you'll see that's my dad cleaning the ground, getting ready. He also acquired a revenue sharing grant that was able. We were able to get the move the building, put a new roof on, and a foundation. And there we see this is Oceano Improvement Association members, with the building's been cut in half now, and it's being in preparation to getting the move up the highway. There it goes. The first half, there's Mr. Cecil Holmes. He's one of our OIA members. Is acting as the flagman as the half of the depot goes up the road. Then it joins together, and that's I know a lot of people around here worked in the fireworks booth. Then the early restoration, the California Conservation Corps played a big part, and there you see them. We saved every one of the bricks from the old foundation, and they were brought up to the depot, and all the bricks were cleaned of the old mortar by the CCC and the Oceano Improvement Association people, and then the CCCs worked on the building. The initial restoration, all the old paint. My dad wouldn't allow any mechanical means to remove the old paint from the building because it was the redwood, so they did it all by hand. And there you'll see some of the painting going on. They removed it all and did a whole new paint job. Just some more. There's a view looking up from before the parking lot. And this is an interesting, these rails were from an old railroad spur that was over off of by the box company, the Beach Street. And that spur, those rails were from a spur that went to the beach, and this is where the depot was such a part of the development of the town, because around 1905 there was Eastern developers came to Oceano and they had their eye on the beach area and wanted to develop all these resorts, so they built a railroad spur that went down to the beach. And at the period 1905, there were like 8 new subdivisions carved out of the sand and the dunes. And one of them, the big one, was they have the picture on the wall, is the La Grande subdivision. That photograph there was opening day in the La Grande tract at 1906, 4th of July, actually. But of course, all those fell, they didn't reckon with the elements and everything, so none of the big pavilions. The only one that lasted was the Oceano Pavilion until the 60s. The ones out in the dunes did not. And thus another picture too that's on the wall is the boardwalk there, and that boardwalk is about the same time, and it went all the way up to the depot. And that's Air Park Drive. It goes down. You can see the Oceano Pavilion and everything. That was a walking place. So Southern Pacific donated these rails, and so then my dad took them out, brought them to the depot to start up the railroad. And then they're putting them together. And there he is. He named his railroad the Oceano Northern Railway. And so I didn't bring it. We have a logo that Norm designed with our caboose on it. And it was in 98. We got a boxcar from Sacramento, brought it to the depot to be used for the restroom kitchen. And there it sits. And there we have our volunteers, George Rapp and Walt, doing all new electrical for the boxcar. Inside, there's George and Chuck. They did all the construction of the kitchen, boxcar, restrooms. And there it sits, completed. Then in 1949, the Oceano Women's Club built their clubhouse, which is now the Boys and Girls Club. And this memorial was put in there as part of the the dedication ceremony, they built a memorial for the 8 boys from Oceano that died in World War II. So they dedicated their monument in 1949, and it sat there for many years. And then when the Women's Club sold the building to the Boys and Girls Club, it was sitting there alone, so we asked, and it was brought to the depot. So that's where it sits now. Then we had a rededication ceremony for the memorial, and it was on we had planned it for September 15th, 2001, and of course September 11th happened, and we went ahead and did it, and it turned out to be really good that we did. It was very healing for everyone to get together and rededicate an old war memorial at a time when our country was suffering so much. And then we have, this is one of Mark's projects, that he is a World War II enthusiast, and this is his B-17 crew, that they're all mannequins in original military uniform that we set up in the depot for different events, for like Memorial Day and Veterans Day. This was one of our Veterans Day ceremonies we conduct at the depot. There's another shot of our military men in the depot. This is just one of the Veterans Day events that we did with the Honor Guard. When the depot turned 100, we had a big celebration, a barbecue, and there we have this one of our volunteers, Wally. He's not with us anymore, but he made that big cake. I just thought this was kind of interesting, because on the wall you have the picture of the TV Wheeler store, which is down, it was in the blank space between La Tapatia and the green building, the old card room building down by the laundromat. And this is Mr. T.V. Wheeler, and those are the post office boxes that were in that building, and we have them over at the depot now. And it shows it's set on a counter. We wanted to memorialize him. He was our country doctor from 1930 up until he retired in the 60s. So we took this plot of ground behind the boxcar and made the Dr. Gerber Memorial Park. And then there's our volunteer, Ty Levern, who did all the brickwork, and we used the brick from the old foundation bricks from the depot. So those are like over 100-year-old bricks that went into all the planter boxes. And we had a big dedication ceremony. Dr. Gerber's daughters came. It was really, a lot of people were there. One of the neat thing we did in 2006 was the Oceano School, Grammar School. Some of the women approached me about having a school reunion for grammar school, and it went over. We had over 350 people came from all over the country, and the average age was like 60s and 70s, and they had all graduated or, you know, gone to the Oceano Grammar School, and we had the whole freight room was full of photographs. We have a large collection of Oceano School memorabilia. Then in John Loomis donated his caboose. This was a Santa Maria Valley Railroad caboose that was out at his ranch at Tar Springs for many, many years, and then he thought it was time to give it a new life, so it came to the depot. And at you see it at the ranch, then it was on its, when it comes to the depot, and then we spent a lot of time. This is all done with volunteers. There you see Mark and Lori cleaning, Mark painting. And then we put back the Santa Maria Valley Railroad logo. And so Norm did the layout for it and painted it on. The depot was involved with the Oceano cleanup. It was the headquarters. People check in and check out. And the Oceano Kiwanis did lunch there. So there you see all the workers eating their lunch. And then the check-in table. We have the Central Coast Railroad Festival. Every October, the San Luis Model Railroad Association and the festival people, and we have a big 2-day event. And these are our young volunteers that have been working. They've been volunteering for several years now. Caitlin does the popcorn and Sarah does the hot dogs, and that's one of our fundraisers during these events. We'll sell popcorn and hot dogs. And then the Oceano Kiwanis uses the depot every year for have the pancake breakfast. And our kings, and the big fundraiser Kiwanis does at the depot every summer, the big barbecue, that money, we take 30 kids, 20 to 30 kids from Oceano and get them school clothes. So we're, and then the Kiwanis is very supportive of the depot. Every year they'll buy something we need or donate money or come do a lot of work in the yard or, you know, whatever we want to do. So the Kiwanis and the depot association work real well together. This is a tour group from some children, preschool kids. That one of our latest and our big projects is the restoration of Gavin's Cabin, it's called. This is a photograph of the dune home of Chester Allen Arthur III. He was the grandson of President Arthur, the 23rd President of the United States. And these were the two buildings he built out in the dunes in his area called Moymel. The building in the back is his personal cabin. The other front building was the called the community house. And that cabin was moved out of the dunes in the 1946. It was in 1946. It was moved out of the dunes, and it's been up in Oceano since then at this 15th and Paso Robles Street. And so for years and years, it was there as a rental. It was used for all different kinds of things. And it was over like 7 years ago, the gentleman that owned the property donated that building. And even before that, it was scheduled to be burnt one time as a training exercise. And Norm, knowing the history of it, you know, he was on the fire department at the time, and he said, oh, no, we can't. And so they didn't. They didn't burn it, so it sat there. And so we were nervous a lot trying to figure out how we're ever going to get it. So it took us, after we first were told to take it, it took 7 years to get it together. But we got it, and it's over at the depot now waiting. We're working on it. There it's coming in, going in, and it's there at its home. And we've already had the windows done and the outside restoration done, and right now we are getting the retaining wall going. After that, we are working. State Parks is going to work with us to do the landscaping with native plants. So we're going to kind of fill in another. We'll have another whole park. There's a large area behind the cabin, so it's going to be a great asset, a great draw to the depot. I didn't say that much. I was going to talk more about Gavin. He was an astrologer. So there we in our Central Coast Towing was generous enough to go out to Roy Grandy and bring him in for us, and there's Mark and Norm putting him in. Another fundraiser we do is our depot store, and we have the books. I brought a couple here to show, but we do sell the Oceano book, and then we have the Arcadia book, and we do have also the Dunite books for sale over at the depot. This last year, we had our first hobo bash. It was we've been talking about it for years, doing this, and we finally did it, and it was a raging success. We had a hobo stew and music, and there we have our volunteers, Chuck and Colleen, with the Povey and John Taylor donated all the vegetables and things we needed, and then one of our volunteers, Kelly, did all the centerpieces and helped, and there's the band Don Utterbuck. They played fabulous music. It was really a really good thing, so we're going to do it every year. There's some hobos, and there's some of the people there. And we had a contest, the best-dressed hobo king and queen, and there's the winners, John Godfrey and Barbara Mann. So we'll get back. There's just to kind of show you what's from the difference. In 1979, this picture was taken right from about in here when the OCSD wasn't even here yet. So, and there you see the depot today. And I wanted to mention in 1985, the Oceano Depot received a point of historical interest designation from the state. And I wanted to just read a little part of what it says. It says, the Oceano Depot has a special historical value to the town of Oceano, which was founded solely in anticipation of the construction of the railroad through the region. The Oceano Depot, a combination 22 design, is only one of two that remain. It stands as a handsomely restored symbol of the golden age of railroading and the modern origins of the Oceano community. So the Southern Pacific coastline, there were like over 25 of these depots. And now the only two left is Oceano and Goleta. All the others are gone. They've been, you know, torn down. So the depot is used for a lot. It's a backdrop for photo shoots. I go by all the time, and you see wedding dresses hanging off the caboose and kids' graduation pictures. We've had a moose from the Parks and Rec from San Luis Obispo came through the depot. They came in two buses. They ate their lunch in our park. They toured the depot, and then the buses took them to the train in Grover, and they took the train back to San Luis, so they had a real neat day. So the youngest person there was six, and then the tour we're going to give next week, the youngest, well, I don't know how younger, but the oldest is 105, so I've never met a 105-year-old, so I'm really looking forward to that. And then, like I said, the Boys and Girls Club, they just called today, and we're setting up a tour for in about a week, so they'll be coming back. We have meetings are held there, women's groups, the Oceano Advisory Council, our tourist bureau meets there. State Parks uses it for their concessionaire training. So, and the first of this year, there was a missing person, and the San Luis Sheriff's Office had a set up the search and rescue command post at the back of the depot, and we had the boxcar open all night with hot coffee and restrooms for the search and rescue volunteers. So it's used a lot, you know, by the public. We're always working on the depot. Recent accomplishments, we got a new paint job. This picture was taken before that, but the upper floor, the Five Cities Men's Club, donated a new paint job. We just had the parking lot here a few months ago was resealed and striped as a donation from Toast Paving. There's just right now we have a gentleman who's working on the dock. We're replacing the rotten wood that some of it had gone. So anyway, that's just a little highlights of what goes on over at the depot, and I want to thank you for allowing me to come tonight, and thank you, all of you, for all your support. I know I've seen you all at the depot for our functions, and I appreciate it that all of you come. Oh, and
thank you, Linda.
I want to say the first time I met Mary, she was carrying a couch up the dock for one of our flea markets.
That couch sold.
Yeah, it did.
I have a question.
Director White has a question. Where'd you get that picture of her?
No, she did a long time ago, I surprised her with it.
Yeah. Do you have any other big projects, any other buildings, any other things that you're looking at long range other than just the ongoing of the depot? I was thinking
1911, it was at the end of the creek, and when the big floods in 1911 came, the men saved it. They took horses and tied ropes around it and pulled it back, and then it was brought into town to safer ground. And it's been down there since 1911. And so it's,
wow.
Is there any more?
But I don't know how we would, you know, the properties, yeah. You know, we'd have to buy it. But.
Yeah, I was going to say, is there any more ground the county has right in this area?
We could always find something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Linda. So anyway.
Everything your family has done and everything that the whole association
has done. That was really good.
Thank you. Thank you very
much.
I really appreciate it.
Wonderful.
Thank let's,
you.
Let's take a break with the warm and fuzzy feeling that I think we all have.
That was really good.
Take a 5-minute break. It's 7:35. Thanks. Meeting back to order. It is 7:48 p.m. The next item was item number B, possible approval of proposed changes to district bylaws. This was brought at the last meeting. Molly, you want to take this, or Tom? I mean, these were discussed. Okay.
Legal counsel take this.
I'm not sure what happened at the last meeting, but our bylaws were out of date and included things that are more policy and procedure rather than bylaw, which should be more structural. So we took a look at them and cleaned them up, streamlined them, and separated out policies and procedure, you know, the simpler things that don't really go in bylaws. And then you guys, I guess, made some changes, and I looked at them, they were fine. The ideas were good. You guys added. So I've got no problem with the modifications you made after I did it.
I thought they were really well written. I thought they when I started reading them, a lot of times this stuff, you know, like by paragraph four, you're kind of doing this, you know, fighting to stay in with what you're reading. And you know, I stayed interested all the way through it. So, you know, I thought they were really, I know.
I didn't have any changes.
Take your time. Director Hurdle, is there anything that you want to add? I was just double checking. There were some formatting issues and such.
Right.
And I actually didn't work on these. If there were changes after the last meeting, I'm assuming Chase would have done those.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So
he was supposed to do those, right?
Okay.
I have more hours into these than I care to admit. While you guys are looking, should we take public comment on that then?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ms. Tacker.
Thank you. I am Julie Tacker, and I did what you're doing right now, comparing last meeting's session with the changes. What, because I guess they were just uploaded yesterday. I wanted to go to 2.8, where it talks about the $7,500 expenditure. Within the current bylaws, I believe it's 1.6. There's a reference to, I think maybe it should be here too, is a reference to the California Public Contract Code, and that we go out to bid and RFPs and the proper contracts for items over $25,000, and that does include repairs. So I just wanted to kind of underscore that.
Which number were you looking at?
I'm at the current tonight's copy. It's 2.8.
Uh-huh.
There's the $7,500 the increase to $7,500 from $5,000, but in the current bylaws, 1.6, it talks about how you would comply with the government code. The other topic I wanted to go to, 4.5, where it talks about the recordings. It says here that they'll be posted on the district's website for 30 days before being taken down, and I'm more curious about when that will start, because I don't believe that's been going on, and looking forward to it. Then with regard to 7.9, where it talks about sitting directors should not enter into litigation. I think we did talk about this a little bit last meeting, and evaluation of consultants, item 12. It just brought to mind, it says that you're going to do the district council and engineer consulting in May or June, and I think you just did that, but we didn't get a reportable action, and I think whether we're going to continue those contracts needs to come forward. And I'm out of time and out of comments.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker.
Thank you.
Is there any other public comment? All right. Hearing none, I'll move it back to the board. The comments, I think we were pretty exhaustive last time with these. These appear to be consistent from my review. And Director White?
I just have, this maybe nitpicking or something, but we're voting to increase our own compensation.
Feels weird, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does to me. I mean, although it's very modest, and it's obviously being done in public, so. Okay, there's no problem with that, I take it.
Yeah, I felt a little weird about it too, but when we first came on the board, it was $100 for each general meeting, which happened twice a month, and then $50 for one outside body, like the sand district, zone three and stuff. And we eliminated that, those, so the board, you know, went to just being compensated for the two general meetings. And so just to help the district, and I think we've done that for almost 2 years now. Mm-hmm. So I didn't feel as weird about it. But I do want to talk about 7.9 again.
Go ahead, Mary.
Okay, so on, oh, go ahead, Carrie.
No, I'm fine.
Excuse me. This is much milder language than I would have preferred. So people who don't have it in front of it, it says, sitting directors shall not enter into litigation, a.k.a. sue the district against the district, should a director enter in suing you because, you know, they have access to everything they need for their litigation or whatever the means is. And so I had suggested that the director should step down, not mandate that they step down or anything, but should. And so I think that, you know, they definitely have a conflict of interest in all matters dealing with the district because they're suing that district. So I'm okay with doing it that way, but I wish there would have been stronger language to have. If you're going to sue us, at least have the decency to step away from the table. So I know you tried to get as close as you possibly could to that without breaking the law.
This language is troublesome. It I can see it both ways, and it'll probably result in litigation, quite frankly, because they do have a conflict of interest, because any judgment would come out of district funds, and they have an interest in that. So
right.
Yes, you can. That language is correct. You can presume a conflict of interest. That said, they would therefore have to recuse themselves and abstain from any, effectively leave the room for everything. So it's odd. It's kind of inherently contradictory. And
right.
I think you just kind of really have to wait and see how it plays out. I can see the value in what you guys want to do.
Right.
And you can't say they cannot sue the district.
Right.
So this is, it is troublesome, and it may well result in litigation at some point. But that's the risk that you've decided you want to take. So
well,
that's,
if we put in there, as a tagline or something, you know, if a director feels the need to go into litigation, it is suggested and they should step down. Should doesn't say you have to.
You can put that in. It's not, that's
is
not necessarily it,
is it going to make
bylaw?
It more inflammatory?
No, doesn't do anything. That just kind of is direction, but bylaws don't generally,
because the last thing
direction.
Last thing my intent was in trying to, you know, get people from, you know, living off us, right?
Payment that they're looking for. So you can make that argument whether the language, whether the on all matters is in there or not. It mm-hmm. is what it is. And it the same argument, the same litigation will result whether those words are in there or not, because a presumption is just a presumption.
Mm-hmm.
And can,
so by having this in here, it's not going to create more problems, is it?
It's not going to create any problems. It gives rise to a problem, but it does without those with or without those words.
Okay.
And of course, the concern there is that the director who's suing the district may actually be correct in
right.
that position, but there's a competing policy here that once the board of directors makes a decision, even if you're a dissenting vote, you move.
And that is in the bylaws as well.
And that is in the bylaws as well, that you move the decision of the board forward. And so it was something that I struggled with, and Chase and I spent a lot of time talking about because of that. But I think that when I did the analysis, I think that the conflict of interest was what stood out to me.
It is. I mean, it is. You can feel that it could and probably will always be a conflict of interest. That, mm-hmm. And so that is kind of the overriding issue.
Even if you're correct, you still may have.
And whether the language is in here or not, the conflict is a conflict. And, you know, so it doesn't hurt to have it in there.
Would a reasonable person clause help further me?
Reasonable Oceano? I don't know how to add that.
I'm not sure where that could go in there. Again, that the reasonable person is subject to dispute. You know, what's reasonable, because the person suing obviously feels reasonable.
Person would resign. Or,
Yes. And I guess there would be some times when there'd be a lawsuit that wouldn't result in a conflict, but then it would override the presumption. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, a director that sues the district has got other issues. That alone gives rise to enough issues, so this is not going to help or hinder that.
Well, we'll see how this shakes down when we get sued on 7.9 or... And it might be a declaratory sort of suit to
they need to go along with the decision. You know, they're violating that, so they violated the laws.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Carol Ann, can we get a roll call vote, please?
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0, Director Angelo not being present. Moving on to item number 9C, resolution 2012-09, a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Oceano Community Services requesting the Board of Supervisors of the County of San Luis Obispo to consolidate its biennial election with the November 6th, 2012 consolidated general election. Manager Giesen?
As you know, we're on a timeline for the November election, and we are combining a seat that would not normally be up for election. And so the county stipulated this resolution that we would get signed off and approved and then back to them so we can continue to meet the timeline. So I need a motion to accept with a change. It says a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Oceano Community Services District requesting the Board of Supervisors of the County of San Luis Obispo to consolidate its biennial election with November 6, 2012, consolidated general election.
Is there any public comment on this? Hearing none. Okay, I'll move it to the board. Is there any board discussion or questions?
No.
Spelt my name.
All right. And hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll give it a try.
Okay, Director White.
I move we adopt resolution 2012-09, a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Oceanic Community Services District requesting the Board of Supervisors, the County of San Luis Obispo, to consolidate its biennial election with the November 6, 2012 consolidated general election.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Can I get a roll call vote, Caroline?
Director White?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes. Motion carries 4-0. I'll sign that later this evening. Moving on to item number 9D, resolution 2012-10, determination of appropriation limitation for the 2012-2013 fiscal year. Mr. Giesland.
When we put a limitation on appropriations, and this is adjusted via consumer price index and population change. And so it's a running total, so each year you do this and then your number changes and then you go through it sequentially. So this resolution takes care of the budget that we did this year that you approved on the special meeting. But I needed to sanity check all these numbers and go back through and do a multiple year calculation, which I've done, And so I just need you to approve this, and we can put it with a budget package.
Quick question, Tom.
Sure.
So it's just basically a different formula in how you
No, the formula is the same. What you have to do is you have to identify the amount of money that you get from property taxes, which is that $773.26, and it puts a limitation on there that makes sure that you don't spend any more than what you're taking in, and you have to document it.
Okay.
So, but it's a running total because it changes.
Right.
These numbers, we're in the unincorporated part of the county, so the county puts out a set of numbers that we create a factor, and that factor handles the limitation.
Yeah. Just like the little slip, all people who own property in the area, they recently got, you know, this is not a bill, but from the county.
And no, that's something completely different.
Well, it actually is calculating how much your property is out worth, you know, and it comes down to basically this number. And they go on the geographic area and stuff like that. So it's an assessment of value and all that. So this one is saying that, according to this, is that because of the change in, you know, it's going from 1.0377 to 1.0466, that there'll be a decrease in expenditures, what we're allowed to spend up to, keeping in mind that this goes predominantly to support the work of the fire department.
Right.
So my question to you is that even though it's fluctuating by, I'm not giving exact numbers, but right between 400 and 500,000 difference, is it on paper or is the fire department going to possibly see a decrease?
No, the fire department's going to see a subset of this number, the 773,275.
Okay.
Because the amount of money that we get in from property taxes, it's, I think the 82% of that is scheduled to go to the fire department.
Uh-huh.
So, but we, if they demand more, then we take the money from another area.
Okay. So
from the general fund.
And thank you for getting us up to speed with that.
I get it. Is there any other board comment or questions?
No.
All right. Director Hurdle?
No.
All right. I'll entertain a motion then.
I move that we accept Resolution 2012-10, Determination of Appropriation Limitations for the 2012-2013 fiscal year.
I have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Carol Ann, if we can have a roll call vote, please.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes. Motion carries 4-0. I'll be signing that later as well. Moving on to item number 10, closed session items. I do not believe we have any this evening.
We received a Cure and Correct letter from Julie Tacker, which you're aware of.
We'll address that in 2 weeks, I think.
But I'm just letting you know that that's.
Number 11, board member comments. Why don't we start with Director Hurdle tonight? I've been picking on.
I have none. Thank you.
Okay. Director White, do you have any board member comments this
evening? Not, well, yeah. I was wondering if anybody knows if there's any kind of impact to the Oceana State Beach from the $54 million that State Recreation Parks Department found, half of which was dedicated for off-road funds, and I wonder if that includes the money to buy the dunes that is not for sale at this time.
I wonder.
Are you speaking of the situation where the general manager of Parks and Recs resigned and the deputy was fired?
Yes,
that one.
That little incident.
Where they had squirreled away money over a 13-year period?
$54 or $56 million, yeah.
Right.
I just wondered if there was any, if that's going to mean some kind of benefit that comes down to the Oceana Vehicle Park or the Oceana Park or the Pismo Park or I mean, those things were not threatened with closure. A lot of other things were.
I know that Montano de Oro is staying open because of it.
Yeah, and I just wondered if anybody...
I know that there's people looking at it from a financial side, and the question is, was it money came in before it was dispersed and they just hoarded it, or was it money that...
...who's going to run for office to file their forms as well, unless, you know, you're in to wait until the last minute, 5 minutes to five, doing that thing, but I'm not, so I got it done, but... they're very, very thorough, so, you know, make sure you sign your name exactly the same way each time.
I wouldn't have filled mine out today as well. And,
so it's both of us on the list now.
That's right, Mary and I, head to head.
Go toe to toe.
And it takes a while. They sent me home with some homework assignments. So
I know, me too.
There's a lot of forms to fill out, but I do encourage everybody who is interested to fill out a form and run, including you, Director Hurdle. I encourage you as well.
And then they give you this nice little booklet.
Moving on to item number 12, late received written communications, Tom.
I have nothing at this time.
Number 13, future agenda items. I think we...
The cure and correct letter we received.
We'll put Ms. Tacker's cure and correct letter on for the next agenda. And is there any other agenda items that you would like to have for the next meeting, which is currently scheduled for August 8th?
If we could review people's calendars, since it is the end of the summer, there will be people who are either going to be out of town or trying to get the kids out of town or things like that. I know that me personally, I will be out of town for the first meeting in September.
Okay.
So I don't want to screw up any business.
Perhaps you could send Tom an email and let him know so he can...
Hey, Tom.
She's been rubbing in this trip for a month, so I pretty much have it inscribed on my head. Yes. I would like to point out at the end of August, I believe the kids go back to school on the 23rd of August for Lucy and Mar.
Right.
And so... I don't know. Do we need to meet on the 8th?
I'm available.
We can cancel it if we don't do. We're going to have warrants and a few things like that.
Yeah.
I think we leave it on at this point. We can cancel 8th of August.
8th of August.
And while you're checking your calendar, I don't know if you all saw the news article on the local Oceano elementary school teacher who took a group of Oceano elementary kids up and they went to a Giants game and he got to throw out the food.
Steph Brown.
Yeah.
Well, she's married now, so...
We're far more popular than we know.
I'm trying to remember her last... Stephanie Brown.
She used to be Booker.
She's... She's an outstanding human being.
If we don't meet on the 8th, our deadline on the latest cure and correct letter is the 22nd, which is okay. You just have to know it has to go on the agenda and you have to take action.
Are you saying August 8th or September 8th?
August.
Okay.
Which is fine. I just you know.
I just wonder what the status was on our policies and procedures. If that was going back on the agenda at any time soon.
I think they've been adopted, weren't they? Were they not adopted? I think we're good. And then we added the additional one from the media policy, which was adopted on the 27th.
Okay.
And the way they're worded is you can add additional ones or subtract or modify them without changing the whole thing.
Okay.
So So we're good.
The media policy had been adopted, but it hasn't been formally written down yet because of vacations and such.
I did today.
You got it today?
Okay. I did today.
I was only suggesting that we not meet on the 8th just because of the amount of effort and work and time that everybody's been putting in, and I think we all need a big
break.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of meetings this month.
Right.
You know, I don't mind as long as the warrants can remain up to date.
Yeah, that's not a problem. I mean, we can have somebody come in and sign them.
Well, they won't be board approved yet.
Oh, that's right. Well, then we'll meet on the 8th.
Okay. Moving on to item, is that all the further agenda items? Item number 13. Item number 14, public comment. All right, nobody from the public. Item number 15, do I have a motion to adjourn?
I move that we adjourn.
Second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Good night. It's 8:20 p.m.